You sisters know that my skin has been glowing lately, and I'm here to tell you my secret, Oak Essentials. You've heard us talk about their line of luxurious products before, and we're so excited to have them as a sponsor of OK Sister Podcast, because now you can join in on the glowy goodness.
You know Oak Essentials is legit because it was created by none other than our favorite brand ever, Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients that drive results. It aims to unlock healthy, glowing skin with decadent and hydrating ingredients that give you a luxe, dewy glow.
I won't shut up about the Moisture Rich Balm. It's a nutrient-rich balm that supports collagen production and delivers serious hydration for a luminous glow. And a luminous glow indeed. The way my skin feels like butter after applying this balm. This balm will make you never want to wear makeup again. And you can apply generously during your night routine to lock in moisture as you dream. It's the definition of beauty sleep.
Treat yourself or someone else this season. You sisters will get 15% off and a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order. Oh my God, what a deal. When you use code OKSIS15 at checkout. That's right. 15% off plus a gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com. Promo code OKSIS15, OKAYSIS15.
Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to LibsynAds.com now. That's LibsynAds.com.
Welcome to OK Sister. I'm Gabrielle Scout, Editor-in-Chief of Review.
And I'm Maddie Mayo, co-founder of Camber. And yes, we are sisters in real life.
Whether you're here for the sisterly banter, mindset shifts, or that familial feeling of coming home,
OK Sister Podcast is here to help you show up more for yourself.
Welcome.
We love you.
And let's go.
Well, welcome back to OK Sister.
We started?
Oh, shit. Welcome back to OK Sister Podcast. My name is Matt.
My name is Scout. Sorry, forgot to turn it on real quick. Yeah, you're looking, you are struggle bus city. That face you just made was okay. was like, nap, please?
I mean, now? I feel like that's how you feel too.
I
let's
do
just
feel
like
that
set
way.
The scene. Like, let's just be honest with the sisters. The sisters deserve our honesty.
Okay. Well, I'm in luteal phase, which is why I'm wearing
Same.
A sweatsuit to the podcast, which is, as we said, very off-brand for me. I feel like I want to be in a comfy, cozy bed. I want a cup of hot tea and a soup. And that's
it's
how I'm
80
feeling.
Degrees.
It's really insane how, you know, there's cycle syncing for your business, right? Like, they say cycle sync around your business. So technically I should not be recording podcasts while I'm on luteal, but it's like, you cannot do that. That does not make the, you can't
I
do
know,
that. We have booked this studio months in advance. Our guests are booked months in advance. My cycle might do a little switcheroo-y, and who knows what phase I'm going to be on when I'm in this space.
Wait, but don't you know?
You do, I guess. Now I could start, I guess. But, like, it's always a couple days. Like, oh, my God. Wow, was that a yawn? Anyways.
Sisters!
Maybe we should change this cycle because I think next time I'm also on my luteal phase.
I mean, I'm on my luteal phase, too.
Ooh, we're
synced.
Wow. Let me look at your app. I'll look at my app and we'll...
What are you on?
Obviously, Alyssa Vitti's.
Oh, I'm on natural Alyssa cycles.
Oh, don't admit that.
Well, also you need to give me the Oura ring.
We're working on it. It's a saga. We're working on it.
Or if anyone is listening that works at Oura ring.
Did you order the charger?
I need to order the charger today.
When am I going to see you next?
We have just had like a saga with the Oura ring.
Yes, we have.
But it'll finally come because I really need it. I need it because I keep forgetting to take my temperature every morning with this natural cycle situation.
Oh, you're going to. Oh, OK. Right. You're going to sink them
basil.
Together. Right?
I take basil temperature. You
do? I just know. I know when to have sex and when not, or when to use real protection and when to not.
No, I'm not there yet.
You have no idea?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Like, literally, I will know when I'm entering.
I know when I'm ovulating, but I don't know anything else.
Well, that's the most important thing to know.
That's true. Because that's the one. That's the time.
That's the time.
But I don't know, like, the day. Like, there's, like, I think it's only, what, a couple days?
So, for me, I give it,
I'm in the red for 4 weeks. I need the Oura Ring. I'm in the red for 4 weeks. I need to pee on the stick. I don't pee on the stick.
Yeah. I give myself, like, a 3-day buffer.
Okay. So on either end.
On either end, yes. 3-day buffer on either end. Like, after I'm done with my period, like, if I'm not having sex the day after my period, I'm very careful until ovulation is completely over.
Yeah, my red, it starts right after my period.
Yeah, you should, based off what?
I don't know.
Yeah, what? You're not peeing on stick. You're not taking a temperature. Who's basing this off
of? No, it's the temperature. They know. But literally, because I don't pee on the stick, literally 3 out of the 4 weeks, I am in the red.
No, because your luteal phase is 2 weeks.
Yeah. So
two weeks and like 3 days, you should be in the green.
Yeah, that's not the case.
Yeah, something's messed up.
On this natural cycle.
I don't know what to tell you. So, honestly, this is controversial and I don't mean it, but I'm wondering if this monthly cycle shit's worth it now. I really am.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean.
I would prefer to not be taken out half of the month. Like, my luteal phase is, like, so gross.
No, there was this TikTok.
That I'm like, maybe I should go back on birth control.
Oh, I see what you're saying. There was this TikTok of this guy being, like, he was, like, with his girlfriend. And he's, like, yeah, the week before your period, don't talk to you. The week during your period, don't talk to you. The week after your period, talk to you. And then the week before your period, don't talk to you. Like, it was literally like, we cannot catch a motherfucking break as women.
No, we can't. And
we have one good week a month.
Well, one good week a month. And the problem is that our society and our economy was built upon a man's hormonal cycle, which is every 24 hours.
Yeah.
It is not built upon different phases of different months. Like, the last two times we were here in studio, I was feeling sexy. I was feeling on. I was feeling great about myself. And now I literally just want to be really comfy and cozy and like introverted. I don't really want to be on. And that's why you have to cycle sync. But that's very difficult
to
do.
That's so hard in a modern society.
But it's also like, you know, Adam and I are planning a trip to Tulum soon. And if I plan it too far out in advance, I might not get the timing right.
So I was thinking about this.
I don't want to go into Loom when I feel like I just gained 20 pounds overnight. Why?
That's kind of how I feel about my wedding. I'm like, I need to make sure that I don't have my period.
I mean,
can you imagine your period on your wedding?
Yeah, I had my period on my wedding.
What?
Yeah.
What did you do? You went to the bathroom and changed a tampon on your period? On your wedding?
Yeah. Do you have an alternative?
Wait.
Yes.
You had your period. Was it like day one or day two?
I think it was like day three, so it wasn't
okay,
terrible.
Okay, so it wasn't terrible. Yeah. But, oh my God, you're wearing white.
I mean, have you ever leaked in the last 5 years?
No, I guess not.
I had my period. I changed a tampon.
Wait, so how many tampons did you change throughout the night?
Not many.
Wait, I'm shook. I did not know
that. It would be terrible if I did it now because you know how heavy my periods are right now.
Oh my God. Duh.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give the people what they came here for.
I'm making sure that I'm not on my period during my wedding.
How are you going to do that?
Because I know when my period is.
You're booking this out a year in advance.
It doesn't change.
At all.
No.
Oh, you're that regular?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sisters, welcome to the podcast. We are doing an Ask Me Anything. We asked you guys for some questions and we got really good ones. So let's see how far we get. We might have to
do a part two.
Do a part two because there's a lot of really, really good ones. So we're going to start. There was a bunch of themes. So a lot of you asked, why are you looking at me like that?
I'm trying not to yawn.
You look fucking drunk. You look like you're like looking into the eclipse and you have to close your eyes so you don't burn your retinas.
Oh my God, I literally was trying not to yawn.
It looked like you were simultaneously going blind while being constipated.
Oh my God. Okay, keep going.
Wow. This is going to be a fun one. Good thing it's a bonus episode. Okay. There was a lot of questions that were very, very similar. So I, you know, kind of lumped them all together. So I'm going to read two questions. We got a bunch more in this area, but I kept these two because I felt this would be a great to encapsulate everybody's questions. One of our sisters asked, how has yours and Mad's relationship evolved over all of the business ventures? And someone else asked, how do you both stay so close and work on your sister relationship?
Well, I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about this, I feel like, on the pod, where a lot, I've learned so much from you when it comes to business and a lot of the more mindset, spirituality stuff that's been a huge influence on me. So I feel like that's how we've grown as sisters, where it's like you teaching me these mindsets.
Yeah, that is not what I think they're asking here.
What are you talking about?
They're asking about our relationship outside of what we've like.
Oh, outside. Like, oh, I thought.
Like, not like, here's what I learned from Scout on this podcast. And here's like, how is our relationship personally, IRL, evolved?
Oh, outside our businesses.
Just like in business and outside of our businesses. Like how have we
in our made...
Like, how have we stayed so close through doing OK Sister for six fucking years?
I see. Well, it's brought us closer.
Yeah.
I don't think we would have been close without it.
Yeah, I feel like there's two dates that mark my sister and my relationship. The date Maddie was born, because that's when we became sisters.
No, it was and the date we started BOS and AOS, before OK Sis and after OK Sis.
Yeah, before we've spoken about it. We were by no means not close. We were not like estranged or had nothing to do with one another or didn't relate.
Right.
We were close. Like, we did stuff together. We did stuff in high school. We were normal 3 years apart. We never really fought. Mm. Like the traditional, I hate you, give me that shirt back. Like, we never did that.
There were some of that.
We fought a little bit, but not...
No, it wasn't intense.
It wasn't like the typical drama. But OK Sister has made our relationship.
Yeah, I agree. I think...
I don't think there is our relationship without this podcast.
I mean, we said this a lot. Like, how many siblings can say that they have, like, sketched in hours of the month, you know, of the week to chat with your sister?
Yeah, and it's not just chatting. We're collectively... moving the same boulder uphill. We have a similar mission. We've created something that is so uniquely the two of ours. And it is a little bit difficult, I think, to separate our relationship and who we are on this podcast. I know they're the same, but when I think of you and our relationship, OK Sister plays a dominant role in how close we are.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I don't think we would be this close if we didn't start this podcast.
Yeah. There's very little that... we don't talk about.
There is very little that we don't talk about.
It's like everything on the mic is really, and Lauren has said this, where when she saw us in person for the first time together, she was like, oh my God, it's like watching a live podcast. Like, we literally are the exact same.
Yeah, when people meet us, that's like the common feedback is that they feel like they're watching our podcast. Mm-hmm. So we haven't really had to work on our relationship because the nature of this business, of this podcast, is connecting on the mic together. So, yeah. But I've also said 4,000 times that I don't think you and I would be fit to run like a full business.
No.
Like, we couldn't do Canberra together. We couldn't do Scouts Agency together. No. Like, absolutely not.
No.
Do you agree?
Yeah. This is the only thing we could do.
Yeah. It's like the perfect side hustle for us together.
Mm-hmm.
Do we work on our relationship?
No.
Not really.
No.
There's nothing to work on. We're pretty honest with each other.
We don't go to therapy. We don't.
I mean, this is therapy.
This is therapy. OK Sister is therapy, honestly.
Yeah. And yeah, I think we cheer. It's kind of crazy to say. Like, we're really great together. Like, as our relationship is really great. Like,
yeah. Yeah. There's nothing wrong.
And if there is, we're always honest about it. Like,
yeah.
I'm feeling like jealous or, ooh, that's triggering me in my own shit. But we're so supportive of the other.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Do you have anything else?
No, I
know.
Affirm.
It's kind of a hard question. It's just gotten better and better.
Yeah, I affirm. Next.
Okay. Love it. A lot of people wanted podcast tips.
Mm.
So I'm going to read three different questions that we got, and maybe we can just kind of give some fire answers.
Fire tips.
What's it called?
Quick fire. Quick.
You look like fire Smeagol.
What the fuck?
From the ring fire with the ring, the aura ring.
Wait, how have they Maddie, never done that?
Maddie is fucking Smeagol being like, my precious.
With she the wants, aura ring. Wait, she why are the aura
ring,
never?
She wants the aura ring the same way Smeagol wants the ring from Lord of the Rings.
Wait, why? I'm wondering why aura ring has never like incorporated that.
Let's
Lord
do
of the Rings.
We should do it for
we
them.
We should do it for them.
We should
and maybe
do it for
they'll
them.
Finally give us a free aura ring.
Okay, best tips for launching a new podcast.
Woo! Don't do it for the money.
Yep.
Do it because you want to grow your network.
Yep.
And you want to build a community and you want to share a message. Do not do it for the money.
Do not do it for the money. Look at it and know that the ROI you're going to get is exponentially larger than any sort of like money metric download situation. We've said it before, we put most of the money we make on this podcast right back into the podcast. Madden's and I have been doing this for 6 years, and I wouldn't say it's like financially significantly contributed. We're really lucky that we're a top podcast that does make money.
Yeah.
But producing a podcast is really expensive every single month.
Very expensive.
Very expensive.
And to grow it is very, very tricky and difficult. Yeah. So I wouldn't say don't do it. I would just say
don't do
be
it for money.
Clear about what your goals are. Mm-hmm. And I would, and this is your only goal, okay? To grow a network, which I think is very invaluable, but
very
that's
invaluable.
The goal is to grow your network with guests mm-hmm. and be able to connect with people and have a way to tell your story. Those are like the two goals you should have and build a community. And that's
my
it.
Tip is if you can tie the podcast to your business, that's where you'll actually monetize your podcast. You know, this OK Sister is not really tied to a business. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go back to a business. However, this podcast has pushed Camber forward, I'm sure, in so many ways, just based off the network. I've had past guests hire me at Scout's agency, and I've made money off those retainers. Mm-hmm. So I think a podcast is best monetized when it is connected to a business, because I think that, like, for example, coaches should all have a podcast.
Yeah,
they will
sure.
sign so many clients if they have a podcast, because people sign with people after they hear them on a podcast. So
it's building trust.
Yeah, for sure. And don't do it if you aren't willing to commit every single week for at least a year and a half.
I had to adjust because you're seeing the birthmark.
Oh, geez. Right? A year and a half?
Year and a half, yeah. Don't be discouraged when you don't see any downloads for the first couple months. It might just be your grandma listening.
You guys don't understand how disproportionately low podcast downloads are to Instagram and TikTok numbers.
Yeah, because it's
across the industry, across the board.
Because a podcast listen is so much more valuable.
Yeah. For sure. I'd rather have 5,000 podcast downloads a month than have 5,000 Instagram followers.
For sure. Yeah. It does not equate. Yeah.
Okay. Best advice for a podcast rebrand, fresh start, or a new season? I would say the checklist that we did, new cover art, new music, incorporate video, redo your trailer, redo your jingle. I think the branding around the podcast is a really fun way. And make sure you do a big communications campaign. Show people that you are relaunching or rebranding. Email everybody. Make a big deal about it. You know, these things are more about how you tell people about them than what they are just existing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree. And then also just have a consistent style. So kind of what we've started to do with the reels and the TikToks, that's been a whole new brand for us.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then the other tip I would say, I know it's really overwhelming in the beginning because a podcast is not just starting an Instagram. It's a whole production. You have to edit and all these things. It might cost money in the beginning. Whatever you got to do to be consistent is number one. But the minute you feel ready, throw video into the mix because it will fundamentally change everything.
Yeah,
podcasts
which is
at
annoying.
This point, I know. Podcasts at this point are shows. You have to think of your podcast as a show.
Yeah, it's a video.
It's a video
it's
show.
It's a video show.
Yeah.
It's a talk show.
It's a talk show.
Sisters, my goal these days is to always look put together when I leave the house. Nothing over the top or super dressed up or anything like that. I just want to look put together and feel good about what I'm wearing in an effortless yet refined way. When I look at my closet every single morning and think about what I can wear that is chic and intentional, I usually end up grabbing one of my Jenni Kayne sweaters, and I always end up loving the way I look and the way I feel in them.
You all know, sisters, that when I envision my highest self, I am wearing Jenni Kayne. Their sweaters are the quintessential must-have item. I cannot stop wearing my Marina set. I throw it on and immediately feel like I'm in a Nancy Meyers movie, like I could just walk on the beach in Santa Barbara. It is the coastal grandma aesthetic.
My favorite Jenni Kayne sweater right now is their everyday sweater in taupe. This is the definition of a staple that every woman must have in their wardrobe. Sisters, trust me on this one. I wear it with leggings, oversized jeans, and a little kitten heel or a silk maxi skirt. Legit, Mads and I are so obsessed with wearing our Jenni Kayne sweaters that we've literally shown up both wearing the same sweater once, the white alpaca cocoon crew neck, which is this deliciously oversized sweater.
Yeah, that moment takes the cake. Both of us walking in with our matching Jenni Kayne sweaters.
We're obsessed. Can't take them off. Wearing them every day. The type of staples that save your outfit.
That is what I love about their entire collection. It is truly the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless designs. So you can curate wardrobe that never goes out of style.
Find your new uniform at JenniKayne.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code OKSIS at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, JenniKayne.com, promo code OKSIS. OKAYSIS.
Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about.
Ever since having a baby, I've been extremely conscious about what I spend my money on and which products I use. And clothing is no different. I want my wardrobe to be sustainable, good quality, and timeless.
You have to be talking about Whimsy and Row, right? Whimsy and Row is an LA-grown, eco-conscious brand born out of the love for cute, comfy, and classic styles. Every piece is made by women for women. Quality goods, local production, natural and organic fabrics. Yes, please give me all the linens.
Just like OK Sister, Whimsy and Row is based on the idea that women are multidimensional. There's a balance of flirty feminine and minimal masculine in all of our wardrobes, and Whimsy and Row means exactly that. From special occasions to everyday effortless styles, their clothing is meant to mix and match and wear on repeat. I have been wearing their Kira pant in black linen probably 3 times a week. Sisters, if you've been listening to this podcast or following me on Instagram, you know that Whimsy and Row's Kira pant in black linen is a sisterhood staple at this point.
Founder Rachel Temko created the brand back in 2014 because she wanted to create an approachable and inclusive brand that cared for the people and the planet first. Get the full Whimsy experience IRL at their Venice location or shop online at whimsyandrow.com. Their store in Venice is so cute, I can attest. And if you're in LA, I highly recommend stopping by. They are always putting on these amazing community events.
They just launched their spring summer collection and we will be living in it all summer long.
Visit their website, whimsyandrow.com. That's WHIMSYANDROW.com and use code OKSISTER for 15% off.
Okay. Lost in your 20s. Advice on feeling lost in your mid-20s is always helpful. One of our favorite sisters sent this in. Hi, we haven't seen your name in a while. I'm not going to say it out loud, but hi.
Yeah, these are all anonymous. Been there, done that. Mid-20s.
You're supposed to feel lost. That's what I
say. Early 20s to mid-20s. Just know that it is so normal to be feeling the way you're feeling. I think society puts so much emphasis on your 20s to have it all figured out.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught up in the social mediafication of how your 20s look. You know, you're the hottest you'll ever be. You're growing in your career. You have all these friends. You're going out all the time. Like, it's this weird utopia that people believe you should have it all figured out, when in reality, it's anything but. I don't know why it is our 20s. We have such an emphasis. Like, I think it's just because we're young. And so people just think it's like, you're energized and young and you're this and you're motivated. But it's like, no, it's so confusing. It's worse. I thought it was worse than puberty.
Yeah, I agree. I think when I hit 26, I was like, what?
No, it was.
This is not what I thought my 20s would be.
No. And it's, and that's, I think, the biggest thing is it's the letdown and it's the expectation. You think because we've been told all these messaging about how the 20s is so important, so fun, so this, you're so young, carefree, you don't have a baby, you don't have this, you don't have a mortgage. And then.
Which it is to an extent. It was fun.
Sure. But it didn't like.
It's very destabilizing.
It didn't set you up the way that like society told us it would.
Yeah. And you have to think like. What happened to all those people decades ago who were getting married and having babies so young in their early 20s? Like now it's more socially acceptable to wait a little bit and have some time. And I wonder if back then people were just going through this mid-20s freak out while having the responsibility of,
I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine. What now that I'm out of my mid-20s, I remember in my mid-20s feeling so, I feel like I didn't have a foundation. I feel like I wasn't anchored into a purpose or into a career, or I didn't really know how to make money. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't understand things. Everything felt like a new experience. Every day felt like a new experience out of my comfort zone, and it was exhausting. And if you have the courage to face those feelings head on every single day in your mid-20s, I promise you that some weird magic wand happens around 29 to 30.
Yeah, your Saturn return, baby.
All of a sudden, you feel so much more competent. You feel like you got it. You feel like you understand what you're doing. You're more sure of yourself. And even if you're not where you quote unquote want to be by the time you're 30, there's still a level of a more foundational. There's something more safe in your body around that time. Mm-hmm. So my biggest advice is like, if you're feeling lost in your mid-20s, you're on the right track. Like,
I think so too. I think the best thing to do right now is
put yourself out there.
That and also like read a lot and learn a lot.
Yeah.
Like
for sure.
I think I wish I had started like my spiritual journey earlier, like gotten into To Be Magnetic earlier. Yeah. I wish I had read. I did read a lot of books and some of them helped, some of them didn't, but like I wish I had gone on my money mindfulness journey a lot earlier. Just like take the time to be like, everything is so fucking destabilizing and doesn't make sense right now, but like, let me try to make sense of it and try to find those little pockets. Like, what are things you want to learn? Start reading about them. Start just like getting a baseline of knowledge for those different parts of your life, like career, like finance, like spirituality.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing I would also tell myself is that success leaves clues, and actually listen to the people who have written these books with all of these tips. I mean, be discerning about what's right for you and what's not. But I think there's a level in your 20s where, I mean, this is legitimately brain development as well, where it's very difficult for people in their mid-20s and early 20s to see a long-term game. It is super hard to see past the short-term situation. And I think, and this is so hard to do because biologically, our brains are not yet primed to this until we turn 30, actually. And I saw a huge shift, especially having a baby. I was like, oh, wow, my brain all of a sudden wants to listen to every other successful person who's done it, is ready to hear the advice, is thinking about the long term. And I wish I did that in my 20s. But I also know that you have to live your life to get to that point. But if that's of any interest to you, read the books about compounding investments. Like, listen to the people who have done it, because success does leave clues.
Yeah, just read I Will Teach You to Be Rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Work-life balance as a mom. This one, I guess, is me.
I am not mom.
Work-life balance as an aunt. Yeah, how is it going for you?
Work-life balance as an aunt.
How is it going for you?
I don't think I told everyone about my day with Lily out on the town.
Uh-huh.
I took baby Lily out on the town. I drove the Tessie.
Mm-hmm.
I hate driving the Tesla. It is so, so jarring.
Literally got out of the Tesla and said, how much does your Tesla cost? I really liked driving it.
So this is the thing about the Tesla. I would love one because I love the sleekness and that there is no clutter, or I like everything. I like how high tech it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they had to make the brakes the way they did. Like,
yeah, but you, it just, within a week, you don't know any difference.
Okay, so that's why I was like, I can get the Tesla, but it was very difficult for me to drive it.
It is difficult in the beginning, yes.
So baby Lily, me and Benjun took baby Lily all by ourselves, mm-hmm. all by our lonesome. It literally felt like we were parents. It was so weird. I was like, this is what's going to feel like when we're parents. And we took her to the Children's Museum in San Diego, and it was so cute. They needed to have like a separate museum for people her age and then the fucking lunatic children that were there. There was like 5-year olds there. Like Lily did not really like fit in there.
Yeah.
And she was very overstimulated and just was like staring at everyone. We're like, go play. And she's just like, like she wanted to be part of the mix, but it was too chaotic. These lunatics, like I'm scared for when she grows up. Like she's gonna be a monster. If it's any indication of what was going on in the Children's Museum that night. And we were like, get us out of here.
So birth control, go to the Children's Museum.
Literally. That museum was kind of, it just, every parent looked so tired and miserable. it honestly made me not never want to have kids. Like this is like what you see in the movies, like the parents being like, oh please be quiet, like oh, like please put on your shoe, and then like a kid squealing in front of them and they're just like, be quiet. It was so
listen, intense. I can't comment because I haven't gotten to that stage, but I do think there's a year that's really really difficult, but I also don't foresee Lily being like that.
Well, let's check back in because wow, I don't know what was going on with these poor parents.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I'm sorry. I hadn't told you about this. And the best part of the day was that Lily thought I was you.
Okay, so she didn't think you were me.
No, I think she thought I was you.
No, she just knew that
I'm a woman.
She knew that you of all the people that were around
I'm
her
the safest.
Were the safest for
okay,
her.
Okay, great. That's amazing. She was not giving Ben much attention, which was really sad because he really was trying. because she just kept coming to me. I was like,
girl? It's the same thing with like you and me. She'll come to me over you.
Right.
Ben has to now take her alone.
Right, right. Well, whenever he's alone with her, she does that. So anyways, it was just so cute. She kept like holding my hand and dragging me to places to play and like telling me to pick her up. And it was just so, so precious.
Were you happy that you got that Lily wants you moment?
It was like the best feeling in the entire world. And then we went to go get tacos and she was being so funny and she was like shaking her head like this. I don't know why she was doing that, but it was so funny. And she was going,
she
like
loves
this.
Doing that. Oh, yeah.
And then I was like, what? And she just was delightful. Anyway, so that's my work-life balance as an aunt.
Okay. Drive the Tesla, go to the Children's Museum, get tacos, drop her off.
Drop her off and get the fuck out of there before we have to change a diaper.
Yeah, we timed that for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the actual questions were how to create work-life balance. I'm going to read two of the questions because I think they hit on different things. How to create work-life balance when you are a boss in multiple spaces with having kids. And then work-life balance with a kid, podcast, agency, projects, et cetera. How are you getting it all done? So I want to focus a little bit on the how are you getting it all done question, because I feel like that question, I ask that of other women sometimes that I see, because even when I read that, I'm like, how am I doing that with a kid, a podcast, an agency, and like review and all? I'm like, how am I doing this? I think there's a couple things. I think that when I had a kid, my agency was already established, right? Mm-hmm. We were going into our fourth year. I had a team. And so there is something to be said about that. You know, if you just started your business and you're having a kid, you might have to just solely focus on that business while you, you know, go through the early stages of motherhood. So as far as the agency goes, I have really streamlined that and I'm so used to it. Like I have my systems down. I understand how our sales goes. I get into the rhythm, and really, once you get into the rhythm and once you build up a muscle around certain projects, it becomes second nature, which is something we talked about with Xanthi mm-hmm. on our how to create content intentionally. Like when you tell someone to make 4 reels a week who have never done social media, that is crazy to them. And then once you do it, all of a sudden you're like, oh, I could do that in 1/10 of the time that I did a couple weeks ago. And then you can add something else in, and then you can add something else in, and then you can add something else in. So I've had before having a kid, 4 to 5 years of building that muscle of things. So I've always run my agency and done OK Sister. And so I've learned how to balance that. And it's running this podcast has become easier and easier and easier. And running my agency has become easier and easier and easier in the sense that things don't take as much time anymore. And so I've been building that muscle. I'm also someone who naturally enjoys having different projects. And I'm someone naturally who... one of my superpowers in business is looking at a project, seeing, okay, there's 5 tasks, right? And knowing which is going to move the needle most and how much time to spend on each. I can like tell you don't spend more than 30 minutes on that because you're wasting your time and that's only moving the needle in a 30-minute like exertion, if that makes sense. So I'm really good at managing my time in that way and knowing what I have to spend more time in and knowing what I have to spend less time in. And I think that's one of the assets I have as a leader of my business, because I've told my team so many times, they'll come to me and be like, oh, it took me 3 hours. I'm like, that should take you 45 minutes. That's the only amount that task is worth from a revenue perspective and from a growth perspective. So I had a couple years of getting that foundational down. I am also naturally someone who can do a lot of things very fast.
I'm a very fast worker.
One of my old bosses was like, you could literally get 3 days of work in one day with minimal errors. Naturally, who I am. So there's all that. As I've talked about on this podcast, throwing a kid into the mix has been the biggest wrench of all for my workflow. So I'm getting it all done because it's important for me to get it all done. Because I love my podcast, I love my agency, I love Revue. These are things that I want in my life. And now I just alter the time management to be around what is my capacity as a mother. So, for example, I'm not a guest on podcasts anymore because that it was taking up too much energy. And as a mom, like, my energy is so limited. So I'm actually getting on less calls now than I used to pre-motherhood. And my schedule is actually more clear, and yet I'm making more money and have time for more projects. So a lot of it is auditing. A lot of it is being very diligent with your time. I think we all have way more time than we think we do.
Yeah.
And I think we waste a lot of time on things that don't need to be done. So at the end of the day, how do I get it all done? I get it all done because I want to get it all done. Genuinely in my heart, I want all these projects to go, and I want my time with my daughter. I do not have a full-time nanny, actually. I only have 25 to 30 hours a week of childcare with Lily. And that's how it is. I want to get it done, and I'm super diligent about it. Now, with all of that, it is very hard at times. It is so hard to balance all of this with a kid in the mix. I could do Revue, OK Sister, and Scout's agency like that without a baby. Being a mom changes the whole thing. But what I will say is that I've gotten really good at making... like, if I have a day where I don't feel good, or if I feel overwhelmed, or if I feel tired, or if I feel this, or I feel that, I don't make that mean anything about my relationship to my goals. Because if I feel sad, or if I feel overwhelmed, or if I feel overworked, the goal of all these things are in alignment with myself. So I'm not hard on myself. I just don't like it today. Big deal. I'll like it tomorrow. Like, I don't make things mean anything anymore about how I physically feel and how I emotionally feel, because it goes up and down in motherhood, and motherhood really sets the physical and emotional tone.
Yeah, you don't over intellectualize your feelings.
Yeah, because with motherhood, it's insane. I'm tired all the time. So I'm getting it all done because I want to get it all done. And I'm getting it all done. I think I'm getting it all done because I want to get it all done.
Great.
And if I didn't want to get it all done, I wouldn't get done.
It's as simple as that.
And the muscle that I built. It's not like I had a baby and launched 3 businesses in the same month.
Right. No, I
have a team. I have help. I have a nanny. I have a husband. I have family. How was that answer? What do you think?
That was good. I liked that.
Yeah. And the balance, you know, do you have a bad association with the word balance? I really don't.
I have a very, very healthy work-life balance.
I feel like I have such a great balance in my life.
I feel like the sisters know, like, I'm not a workaholic. I don't see, I don't know. I have so many other things that I love and do.
But I mean more like, you know, when people are like, there's no such thing as balance.
Oh.
I feel like I have my balance.
Yeah. I think it's just like the way you divvy up time.
Yeah. Like, for example, when I'm in LA for OK Sister, I know it's going to be a heavier week. So I typically offload the rest of the week and the week after to be a little more chill for me.
Yeah. You just have to be honest.
Yeah.
With the energy.
Okay, sisters, let's talk about hair shedding. Does the craziness of everyday life leave you stressed and shedding? Since having kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp? Hi, I've been there. When it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes at play, and Nutrafol addresses them through a multi-targeted whole body approach.
Ugh, thinning hair just isn't the vibe. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Amen.
Everyone's root causes of hair thinning are different, so a one-size-fits-all approach to hair growth just doesn't cut it. Nutrafol has multiple formulas that are tailored to give your hair what it needs to grow through different stages, such as postpartum, like me. After I gave birth, I noticed that around the crown of my head, my hair was shedding. I've been taking Nutrafol for almost 3 months at this point, and I am not kidding you. When my husband, my friends, my family have been commenting on how long, strong, and healthy my hair has been looking lately. I mean, sisters, if you've been watching OK Sister on YouTube, you've seen my hair.
While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol women's hair growth supplement for 6 months. I mean, 86% is a lot of women.
Take their hair wellness quiz on Nutrafol.com for a personalized hair health plan based on your specific root causes. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS.
Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Okay, moving on. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're looking at me like I'm an alien.
No, I'm not. Did we take the shrooms today?
No, we didn't take the fucking shrooms.
We didn't take the shrooms.
Okay, best productivity tips.
Best productivity tips. So the best productivity tip I have is you cannot rely on motivation. And we've said this before.
Very similar to the sentiment I just said. Yep.
Yeah, like you can't, again, like can't over-intellectualize. Mm-hmm. If one day you wake up and you're just like, I feel like shit, I don't want to do this.
Don't matter.
It's like, it's hard because I also want to be like, you know, really be honest with yourself. Is it something else where you like really do need to take a break? Like don't overextend yourself and push yourself. But you are the only ones that will know that difference. If you wake up and you're just like, I don't want to do anything.
I would say most of the time you just don't want to do it.
Right. So it's like pushing through that and realizing like, oh, right. I'm like motivation is something that's so rare. And I'm not going to rely on it. I'm just going to do this anyways. That to me, that mindset has helped a lot with productivity. And then I love the Pomodoro method. The reason I love the Pomodoro method, I like playing like psychological tricks on myself. Because there's things you could do that just like trick you, right? So the Pomodoro method is you put a timer for 25 minutes, you work for that 25 minutes, focused work on one task, and then you take a 5 minute break. But by the end of the 25 minutes, I'm supposed to break, but like I'm already in the flow. And so, but you're tricking your brain when you put on that timer. Your brain is like, oh, don't worry. Like, I get a break soon.
Yeah, totally.
So it's like, but then you're just in the flow already. So you kind of just don't even need the break. Like, yes, you should take some breaks. But that's what I've found to help me be productive.
That's good. I like that. My productive tips, I think it's honestly for me just setting an intention. You know, sometimes I sit around at my computer and I'm twiddling my thumbs and I'm not really doing any work. And so if I'm going to do that for more than 20 minutes, like get up and do something better for myself. Yeah. Go take a walk, take a fucking nap. Like you have to detach yourself from this idea that just because you're sitting at a computer means you're working.
You're productive. Right.
So, totally. Or productive. So if I'm not productive and it's really not happening, like do something else that will help you. Read a book or listen to a podcast, take a 10 minute nap, etc. So that's what I feel like be actually honest with yourself about, are you actually working right now? Or are you saying you're working, but you're sitting at a computer?
You're sitting at a computer, yeah.
And then think about that. So I have to tell myself like, okay, kind of similar to the Pomodoro method, mm-hmm. but I don't do it as structurally as you do. I'll tell myself, okay, I have a meeting in 45 minutes. So I'm going to get this to-do list done in that 45
right.
minutes.
Yeah. You give yourself, well, because I always say, if you give yourself, you're going to complete the task in the time that you give yourself.
Totally.
So if you give something 3 hours to get done, it will take 3 hours. Yeah. If you give it 45 minutes, it'll take 45 minutes. So it's a weird, again, it's a weird trick. We just think that like, since we're working for longer, it means we're more productive, but that's not the case.
There's also, again, that muscle. Like everything that you do, Maddie, would have taken it. It takes me out sometimes thinking about it. Would take you out 3 years ago. You've built up a muscle where now you can do things easily because you know how to make the reel, you know how to make the TikTok, you know how to do that. It's like, these are productivity and getting everything done comes with building a muscle.
Yeah.
Because you have to start really slow. And then once you master this and you're doing it in such less time, then you can add something else. And then all of a sudden you're so productive because this is second nature and you've automated it and systemized it.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you find time for reading when you also have social media as a job?
Yeah. I mean, I don't scroll.
Yeah.
Really. Like I only scroll or consume when it's like research mm-hmm. for Camber. Yes, social media takes up a lot of my job but that's my job. Like I do that during the working hours and then nighttime. Have I been telling you that I put my phone away? Has this been going on for like 4 months?
In another room?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
How different is it?
Yeah, it's great.
When I come to LA, I sleep with the phone in the room, uninterrupted sleep no matter what, knowing the phone's there.
Yeah, the phone charges.
I cannot imagine sleeping with the phone in the room anymore.
Yeah, it's wild. So the phone is in the other room.
Wow.
Charging, yeah.
I'm so happy.
I know, it's fantastic. I have a little shake and wake on my wrist.
Oi.
Well, because I need an alarm.
Oh, okay.
And also Ben can't wake up from my alarm. The noise.
So you wear a piece of device on you?
I wear a wrist thing that vibrates me awake.
Oh, maybe I should get that so Adam doesn't wake up.
It's fantastic.
I wake up. I haven't set an alarm. I really don't set alarms, but yeah.
Oh, well, I wake up at 5, so have the shake. So I will read before bed sometimes. But honestly, most of my reading happens on weekends. Mm. I'm a very big, like, I will finish a book in every weekend type of person. So, and that's my favorite way to spend a weekend is literally sitting in bed all day. Mm-hmm. I do so much with Camber and I go so many places. And we also do events on the weekends. But like, once the event is done, like, I'm sitting in my bed reading for hours on end, like, no looking at the phone. So that's how I read a lot. I think it's just the weekends.
Yeah. I had to find time to read since becoming a mom. And the way I read is I go to bed at least 30 minutes. I get in bed at least 30 minutes before I want to fall asleep.
Mm.
And then I'll read before I go to bed. I try to do on a good day, it's an hour.
But you fall asleep immediately. It takes me like 30 minutes to fall asleep.
If I read for 30 minutes, I will pop my latency time on my Oura Ring is like 4 minutes.
That's nuts to me.
But if I don't read before bed, it's not that.
Yeah, reading does, I do fall asleep pretty quickly. With reading, the issue is the putting the book down and
yeah, I go to sleep when I have to reread the same paragraph 4 times because I'm so checked out.
Right.
That's what I know.
I think that's why I haven't been reading before bed because it's like I get nowhere.
Yeah.
I need like a good chunk of like 4 or 5 hours on the weekend of uninterrupted time. And that's when I finish a book.
I read at night and then I'll read during Lily's morning Saturday to Sunday nap, either a magazine or my book in bed. Mm. Yeah, that's when I read. Okay. Again, it comes down to like if you want to read, you're going to
read. It's like reading is my favorite thing in the entire world.
Yeah, so you're
it's
do
like
it.
I make time for it because I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's do one last one. What are your dreams for Camber?
It's so funny because Camber right now is in such a high.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems almost to a degree where it's like, holy shit, like we need to like not scale down, but like structure, like kind of like get things on track. Like it's so much movement and so much abundance, which is I would rather be in this situation, obviously, than the alternative. But it's very overwhelming too. So it's hard for me to dream because I'm like, it seems like everything's happening. But like, yeah, of course, I can see so much more for Camber. But like just how much is going on right now, I can't even imagine doing more. So it's kind of a weird, like I know like you hire
you're
and
present.
Scale.
You're in this phase.
Yeah, I'm in this phase. But the dream is to expand to other cities. So I think we've like even talked about like what that would even look like, you know, what does that even look like? Which city would we go to? These types of things. But my dream is to, I don't know if this is my dream. Like, I think it's just, it's an option. Like, I'd love to sell Camber one day but to a company that we can like be the cool cousin within the company.
Yeah.
And I can like run this sector of it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that lands, but like if a Google Maps bought us and we helped build out the social side of Google Maps and the recommendations engine or, you know, something in that realm, I think that's a dream to me where it just becomes something that we just have more resources behind it.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is, where it's like, yes, we can hire more people. That kind of scares me a little bit. Like, I love the team right now and we have such a great structure for the point we're at now. I don't really want to like manage so many people. So I can imagine me being more of like the visionary under a more resourced company. But then again, I don't know, because would that feel too corporate? Like I'm it's weird. Like, I don't know if that's really the dream, but it is an option that I've thought about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It sounds like
I could see going either way. I could see me growing it or.
Yeah. It sounds like you're open for the ride and you're open to see where it goes to. And you've got multiple different avenues that might feel like a fit for you. But for right now, you are reaping so many of the seeds that you've been growing the last couple years. And so, you know, when you receive that inflection point in your business and there's so much abundance, like there isn't time for dreaming because you're so in the present. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And it's a fun place to be.
Yeah. I love being in the present. Like I don't think I've ever been in the present for most of my life.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Like, yes, of course I have dreams and most of my manifestations, like they never really revolve that much around Camber. Like, yes, of course, I'm a business owner, so I think about these things. But honestly, like someone the other day asked me about like what we're doing in September or like an event in September. And I was like, oh my God, I can't think past June. Like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Like, of course I want to plan, but it's like these things just happen. Like, I also want to be, I also don't want to plan too much that I'm stuck, right? And then like everything has happened to us because we've been so open to receiving and moving mm-hmm. and pivoting and shifting and being like, hey, this is the energy this way. That it, like, that's how it's been successful. So yeah. like, who am I to be like, this is the plan. I will not steer from the plan and like all these things. So it's mm-hmm. kind of a balance of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you'll find your cadence within all of that. Mm-hmm. But I think you are at a pretty freaking awesome place right now. And it is so cool to witness.
Thank you.
So my dream for Camber, thank you for asking, is that Maddie stays as aligned and present and magnetic as she is in this moment.
Thank you. I do feel pretty magnetic. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. Girl, you are asking, I shall receive embodied.
Yeah. That's the course I should teach.
That is.
To be magnetic.
Can I be your first client, because you know I need that course.
I know you really are weird about asking for what you need. My whole life.
That's why I've always
bizarre. Like, I ask. It's like, honestly, it's to a degree where I'm like, am I asking for too much? But I don't. I ask for everything.
I know, and you've always done it, even as a little girl, and that's why yes. I would get so upset with you because I wasn't receiving things. But I realize it's because Maddie's asking and I'm not.
Right. Like, you can't get what you don't ask for.
Yeah, exactly. And you can't get mad at and people for getting what they get because they asked and didn't.
Maybe it's because we think it will come off greedy, but that's not really the case. If it's coming from a place.
No, I'm a people pleaser. I genuinely right. feel bad for the other person to put that. I don't want to put them in an uncomfortable position where they
say no,
where they're sitting there and they're like, oh shit, she asked. How do I say no? Like, literally my worst nightmare thinking of someone doing that on the other side of my email.
Yeah, no, I don't care. Literally, the thing about asking for what you want is that you need to believe that you're worth.
Yes.
And that you have value to give that other person. Yeah. Yes, of course, if I ask for something and I'm not giving them back any value, what? Yeah. Like, of course they're going to say no. Yeah. So I'm very confident.
You're not just take, take, take.
No, I'm not just take, take, take. Literally, I'll be like, hey, I'll share this with the Camber community. Hey, yeah. I'll share this with it. Like, there's an exchange.
But I also think that it's easier for you at this point in your life to ask so much because you are confident in that exchange that you now offer.
Yeah.
Where, like, for me, you can ask under the guise of Camber and it's like an immediate, obvious exchange value.
Right.
I don't have something that's an immediate, obvious exchange.
Yeah, you have to build that.
You have to build that. You have to build that. And so that's where I feel like I'm, and naturally I'm not like that, but I can imagine once I got to, again, it's a muscle one works, right? Once you get to a certain place, it's like unimaginable for you to not ask and to not receive those things because that is the value exchange that has shown itself to work over and over again.
Yeah. Like for even my personal, there's a brand that, and you know, I won't name the brand and I won't name the person, but I was like, oh, I got this stuff for free from the brand. And my friend was like, wait, I know this person too. Like, why don't I get free stuff? I'm like,
did you ask?
No. Because why are you gonna post it? You don't have a following. Yeah, yeah, you don't have and the thing is, like, I've spent so long growing this following that I get to have things because they know that me posting is valuable. So it's like, and they're like, oh, wait, right. It's like, not just because you're a friend of the brand do you get free shit. Yeah. It's like there's an exchange.
That's what I'm saying. I don't feel like unless it's under the principle of OK Sister and like a guest is coming on. It's more like for me, I'm like, what's the right way to ask?
Right. That I
ask
of you course, things, you but, like, can't just ask a brand when you're not, but you don't
like,
have any.
Outside of OK Sister, if a guest is coming on, every time I'm like, we should, if they have a product-based business, we get product.
We have to.
But I don't feel comfortable outside of that because what the fuck am I asking for? Like, you know what I mean? So
sure. Yeah. Sure.
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 What?
Sure.
Do you agree with me?
No, I agree with you, but I'm just saying, yes, that is why I've been so good at asking, because I know my worth and I know that what I can deliver as a value exchange.
Yeah. Knowing your worth. Can we do a whole episode on that? Because people are like, know your worth. And they don't have they didn't do anything yet to, like, you know what I mean? I'm like, knowing your worth is like inherent and not inherent at the same time. Like, you have to build something to then know your worth.
Yeah.
We should do a whole episode on that.
We should do a whole episode because it's also like, you do need to know your worth before you've built something, because that's the only way you can carry on. Yes, keep calm and sure. Carry on.
It's such an interesting balance and nuance conversation. We should have that conversation. Okay.
So nuanced.
What the fuck? That was... Sisters, thank you. I'm literally schwitzing.
I've been coming one with this boucle chair.
I have to be so bad.
I keep slouching.
Okay, that's good for you. Sisters, thank you so much for joining us on our bonus episode.
This was so fun.
We should do more of these Q&A ones. I love them. You can follow me at Scout Sobel. You can follow Maddie at Maddie Mayo and the both of us at OK Sister Pod. And if you liked this episode, text it to a friend.
Love you.
Love you.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Tracy Dalglish, clinical psychologist and couples therapist. If there's one thing I know from both my personal and clinical experience, it's that we are really good at comparing ourselves to others. We tend to get stuck in the unhelpful narratives that play on repeat in our minds, and we struggle to set boundaries and create healthy love. Each week, I bring you clinical knowledge and evidence-based research, experiences of sitting in the therapist chair, and being a wife, mother, and business owner to talk about everyday issues we all face to help you change the dialogue in your life. Tune in every Thursday to I'm Not Your Shrink, wherever you listen to podcasts. While I'm not your shrink, I am still human, and I'm excited for us to be in our vulnerability and humanness together.